You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Detroit Tigers baseball today, this Thursday, November 9th, with Jason Beck, our Tigers reporter for MLB.com. Jason, we thank you for the time, and a couple of items we'll get to in the podcast. We'll talk about Ian Kinsler losing outs on the Gold Glove to Brian Dozier of the Twins. We'll talk about what the Tigers' hot stove season will be, given their status as a clear rebuilding team this offseason. We'll talk about the arrival of Chris Bosio as the new pitching coach on Ron Gardenhire's staff for 2018. But, Jason, unfortunately, have to start off with the news that has dominated baseball and sports for the last couple days, and that is, of course, the tragic passing of Roy Halladay at the age of 40, the two-time Cy Young Award winner with the Blue Jays and the Phillies. And, Jason, you know, it's hard anytime any athlete passes away under any circumstance. But in Halladay's case, given how accomplished he was, given how respected and revered he was by his peers in the game, and given what a tremendous husband and father he was to two young boys, this one really hurts, and I think, you know, you're like me and pretty much everybody else. When you got the news the other day, it really just felt like a punch to the gut.
Yeah, it was just so tragic for somebody who really was getting a chance to enjoy life and enjoy being around his family. It just, to have it happen like this especially, it's just, it breaks your heart, and you just... yeah, you hope his family can find some relief, some solace in just the impact that he had on so many other players, not just as a player, but as a person, and the way he carried himself and the legacy he leaves in baseball.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you have not seen or heard one negative word or comment or thought about Roy Halladay in the aftermath of his passing. He was that respected and that appreciated by so many people around baseball and in baseball. And it's, you know, like I said, I think the best way to put it is it's just a punch to the gut when you get news like this. Such a terrible week for baseball, and you can only pray for his wife and his kids that they can somehow someday move on from this, because it is certainly one of the more tragic items we've had in baseball. And it's been a tragic, you know, year and a half in baseball, given the passings of him, Jose Fernandez, Yordano Ventura. You can only hope that better days are ahead, certainly. Well, Jason, let's try to kind of put that behind us and move on to more uplifting things, if you will, beginning with, like I said, the Gold Glove results announced the other day. Ian Kinsler, the 2016 winner at second base, not the 2017 winner, as he loses out to first-time winner Brian Dozier of the Minnesota Twins. I think the consensus around baseball, and I think you share this sentiment with many others, is that this was a bit of an upset, to take nothing away from Brian Dozier. Is that how you felt when the results came out, that you were surprised that Kinsler did not make it back-to-back wins?
Yeah, definitely a surprise. I know he didn't have the same defensive season as he did last year, but, you know, really not the same season all around if you include the offense. But the metrics showed that he was still at the top of his position in the American League among AL second basemen. And you know, the metrics should have given him an edge. I know in defensive run saves as well as ultimate zone rating, he was either first or second in American League. I think in one of the categories, he was, you know, maybe first among major league second basemen. But and he had an advantage over Brian Dozier in both. And I think when Rawlings released the sabermetric defensive index, which is kind of a composite of a bunch of different metrics, Kinsler won out in that category as well. And that accounts for 25% of the criteria for deciding a winner. So you look at that, and it means that Dozier must have won over in the votes of coaches and managers. He did have some errors this year that were a little bit uncharacteristic of him, but statistically, I think Kinsler put up a case that merited a victory.
Yeah, and you can make a case that Kinsler only getting better as a defender for all the reasons and the metrics that you brought up. I mean, this is a guy that is in his mid-30s, but showing no signs of slowing down, at least in the field. And maybe he enters 2018 with a chip on his shoulder to get back in the Gold Glove win column in 2018 and make it 2 out of 3. We'll see what Kinsler does here in the upcoming season. Jason, want to get your thoughts, too. Obviously, now as the hot stove season is underway and there's free agents out there for the taking, but as opposed to most other teams that may look to make a big splash in free agency and really, really spend, I got to think that the blueprint and the agenda for the Tigers is much different given their status as a rebuilding team coming off a very disappointing 64-win campaign. Kind of talk about, you know, how their blueprint, how their agenda might differ from a more successful team in terms of their strategy in free agency this winter.
Well, Al Avila was very upfront about it. He said, look, we're, you know, given the situation, given what we're embarking on, we're going to be bargain hunting in the winter. And it might not be until late in the offseason that they sign anybody. It's, for the first time in years, they're not going to be looking at free agents with the idea of contending for a playoff spot. You know, they are going to be looking for free agents to make a difference and to kind of help, you know, really mitigate the impact of having a lot of young guys around that squad. But I think what you're going to be looking at for them is they're going to be looking for pitchers to help fill innings. They're going to be looking for rebound candidates that can either give them value for their money or guys and or guys that can be traded at the deadline or maybe the next season and get some more prospects into the system for them.
Yeah, it's, you know, like we said, it's going to be a different plan of attack for Al Avila and the Tigers this offseason, and we'll see how that all transpires and what this team looks like of opening day of 2018. Jason, as we come down the home stretch here, something that we did not get to last week, and it took place just after we got done talking, of course, but Chris Bosio is the new pitching coach in the Motor City on the staff of Ron Gardenhire. And Bosio, of course, comes with a terrific resume, having spent years with the Cubs. Obviously had a great deal of success. The Cubs rotation in their world title year of 2016, historically good. A bit down in 2017, but after being so good in 2016, there had to be a little bit of regression there. Was his success with the Cubs kind of the primary source of appeal to the Tigers in deciding to bring Bosio into Detroit for 2018?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Not just in being able to, you know, build a World Series winning pitching staff, but also in being able to develop pitchers. I think what he was able to do with Jake Arrieta makes a world of difference. But also some of their younger guys, Montgomery, some of these other guys who've really been able to emerge from their farm system and to kind of find some, not only some stability, but some success there. And it was a critical hire for the Tigers. You look at the talent that they have in the system. Really, this rebuild hinges a lot on the young guys they have, not only in the big league club right now, but also the guys who are going to be coming up in the next few years. This rebuild hinges on those guys being able to produce results and give them a contending level pitching staff. And to do that, they really needed a developmental type of pitching coach. And they felt like Bosio was that guy. Really, in a lot of ways, they were kind of looking for the next Jeff Jones. If you go back to before Rich Doobie's time, now, Jeff Jones really was an underrated piece of Jim Leland's coaching staff for what he was able to do with, yeah, of course, the high-profile guys like Verlander and Scherzer, but even developing Rick Porcello, even getting Anibal Sanchez back on track after his trade, getting some of these relievers to produce a little bit of unexpected results, and also getting some rebound candidates there. They really spent a lot of time trying to find that next Jeff Jones. They were hoping Rich Doobie would make a difference. And he did have some impact on these young guys, but they're really hoping that Bosio can not only spearhead the pitching renaissance at the major league level, but really kind of take this whole system under his wing and focus on developing the guys who aren't here quite yet, but are going to be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, Jason, you brought up the great example of Jake Arrieta. It's easy to forget now just how much of a mess he was when he was acquired by the Cubs from the Orioles, where he had just nothing resembling any success at all. And under Bazio's tutelage, he turns into the 2015 Cy Young winner, had that historic second half after the All-Star break. So that is a shining example of what Bazio can do as he works with the young arms in Detroit. And hopefully maybe there's another success story a la Jake Arrieta for the Tigers in that staff. Certainly time will tell. Jason Beck, great stuff as always. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Detroit Tigers.